You have your Bible with you. Go ahead and open it to the book of Ephesians with us today. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. But before we jump into our scripture, I want to ask you a question. How many of you are New Year's resolution people? It's all right. It's okay if you are. Raise your hand. I'll just make fun of you a little. None of you are New Year's resolution people? Nobody's gonna. I'm just curious. So nobody's gonna eat better. You're just gonna start it so you can break it. No. Okay. All right. So New Year's that's right. New Year's resolutions are kind of one of those things. I can remember the very first New Year's resolution I made. I'm not a resolution person. A lot like Val, I figure I'm not gonna make it very far, so I just don't. Some of you, do you remember ever making a New Year's resolution? Yeah. What are some of the New Year's resolutions that you've made?
Quit smoking,
okay.
Lose weight,
yeah. What else?
Work out.
We got two. Work out, yeah. Everybody, that's a big one, yeah. Everybody gets a new workout watch and some new workout clothes and a diet plan off the internet here's my next question. How long have you ever made it in a New Year's resolution? 12 hours? Man, you didn't even make it a day. So I can remember the very first New Year's resolution I made. I was 14 years old. I was at my cousin's house in Pampa, Texas. And I don't know why. I don't even remember what the New Year's resolution was. But by the next day, I had failed. I mean, what really, as a 14-year-old, I don't know that there's a lot of really big resolutions that you can make, but whatever it was, I wasn't very good at it. You know, for many of us, I think we approach the new year, and maybe you're thinking about different things that have happened this past year, or anticipating things to come in 2021, and maybe there are some things that this morning, as we're going to look at the book of Ephesians, that really, as we begin to take a view into God's Word, maybe reappropriates different areas and parts of our life. But I want to give you a challenge, not a New Year's resolution, but an encouragement to join me in reading our Bible through this year. Now, we do this every year. I hand out a new reading plan. We've done a number of different reading plans. So along with your bulletin this morning, you have a Bible reading plan. A few years ago, we've done a chronological Bible reading plan, where we went book by book. We've done it as the books were written. We've done it in a couple of different ways. This is kind of a unique one in a way that I've never read the Bible through before. It's what we would call a genre reading. Now, when I say a genre reading, you'll look at the top of your handout there, and it'll say on Sunday you'll read from one of the epistles, which the New Testament, the Pauline epistles, the one books that Paul wrote, to Monday, the law, Tuesday, history, Wednesday, one of the Psalms, Thursday, one of the books of poetry, Friday, one of the books of prophecy, and Saturday, one of the books of the gospel. One of the reasons I want to try this year, some of you have read the Bible through a number of times. Some of you have started and maybe put some effort in. And I think one of the biggest things that I've found, even in my own personal reading time, when I've tried to start, well, just start on page one, right? I make it to about Deuteronomy. And that's it. If you ever made it to Numbers and made it through, congratulations. So when you get into the New Testament or the Old Testament, a lot of times we struggle to read. And so I think this plan in and of itself is going to be an exciting plan where we together as the body of Christ, and I like to give it to you as a church, because I think it's important that we as the body are reading together. Throughout the year, you'll hear me reference our Bible reading plans. If you haven't read through the Bible before, all of our previous reading plans are on our website. This is a shameless plug. If you've never been to our website, there's a lot of resources on there. So our reading plans are on there, sermons are on there, calendar events, all kinds of information are there on our website. So you'll see the link there. You can go there. Not all of it's active yet because I'm a little bit slow in putting all these verses in. But it will be soon, but you'll be able to download this. But keep it in your Bible. Start with me at the beginning of this year, reading through the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5 will be in verses 15 through 17 specifically today. Now, this morning as we begin, you know, I mentioned to you that I'm really not a New Year's resolution kind of person. But I've always looked at New Year's as a special time. Kind of this time to where we can begin to reflect on some of the experiences of our past year and maybe anticipate some of the things that are coming in the next year. Now, when we take into consideration 2020, this is, I haven't really figured out a good way to explain this yet, but the last memory, it just seems like Christmas was really just a couple of weeks ago. That for whatever reason, I missed what I called the 10 and a half year year. That when we look at 2020, the last thing I can remember was Christmas, and then here we are again. And so as we go back and we reflect on all the things that have happened, no matter your opinion, no matter where you stand, 2020 has been a difficult year. 2020 has been one of those years where I think a lot of us have learned a lot of things about ourselves. 2020 has been one of those years where we've been challenged. Maybe we've had new encounters and experiences that we really had no frame of reference for. You know, as people have asked me about my year, and as I've kind of thought through it on my own, if you go back to March and all the things that started to unfold, I've been in ministry for going on, I think we're year 18 or something like that. I've been in ministry for a little while. If you've ever been to my office, there's a lot of books down there, but there is no book for what happened in 2020. It seemed like every week, every day, we were learning something new or had to adapt to some different thing. And I want to tell you just from the bottom of my heart, thank you as a church for being patient. You guys know I don't have all the answers. You've spent enough time with me to clearly understand that. But in 2020, it kind of feels like none of us really had a good answer. And we were all kind of working and trying to figure out day by day what it looked like to move forward. So I want to thank you for your patience. I want to thank you for walking with me. Because 2020, in all reality, has been a good year. Now, I can tell you there have been things that I've walked through, experiences that I've had that have broken my heart, that have torn me apart. Most of you have probably shared similar experiences. But as I look back over the year, I can see God's faithfulness through it all. This morning, as we look at the book of Ephesians, one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to us, we're going to take a moment and look at what it means for us as we go into 2021, not kind of looking in the rear view, but beginning to look ahead at what it means to walk wisely. Now, some of you may read different magazines and different articles and things like that, but I've shared this story with you before, and I think it's funny because I keep hoping that it's going to happen. If you look at these different magazines, they'll tell you the year in review and different pictures and things of that nature. And then they'll give you this anticipation or sometimes even a prediction of what's going to come in the year ahead of us. So this one, the story I've shared with you before, is from 1967. Some of you may remember this story. In 1967, experts predicted by the turn of the century that technology would have taken over so much work we do as an average American that the work week would only be 22 hours long and that we would only work 27 weeks a year. Amen? Are any of you doing that?
No.
Any of you only work 27 weeks a year? You're not preachers. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry. Now, all of us probably work longer weeks than 22 hours, and we work more than 27 weeks a year. You see, one of the article 1967, one of our biggest problems in our current culture would be figuring out what to do with all of our leisure time. Any of you struggle with that? Just figuring out what to do with all this extra time that you have. You see, I think, unfortunately, what we've begun to notice is that even though it may seem humorous, this prediction from 1967, what we've seen, rather than our time increasing, is our time decreasing. We become busier and busier and busier. That there's more drawing our attention, there's more things calling for our focus, and there's so much that seems to happen around our lives. Do any of you remember, there are a couple of you in here that won't, any of you remember when cell phones weren't a thing? Do you remember when cell phones weren't a thing? Where one of the things that an accessory to your body was not putting a cell phone in your pocket. You remember having to call somebody from home or even using a rotary phone? Rotary phones, kids, if you've never used a rotary phone, You don't know patience until you messed up on a rotary phone. You know, we think about technology and how much it's increasing the draw for our attention. If you begin to think through just all of the things that are vying for your focus, I really begin to think as we look over 2020, we have become so focused. We look at the different technology, we look at the different news inlets, we think of all this information that's coming at us, and we struggle to find rest. We struggle in the midst of all the chaos to find peace. So, the last Sunday of 2020, I want to ask you a couple of questions before we begin today. I wonder what will next year look like for you? Will you be busy? Will you use your time better this year than you did in the past? In the next 365 days, will you be looking back with joy or will you be looking back with regret? Will you look at the future with anticipation or with dread? See, Paul, I believe, in his words in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, give us a charge for how we are called to move forward as Christians. No matter what may come, no matter what political agenda or cultural circumstance or even pandemic that may exist, Paul gives us instructions that supersede our circumstance. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 tell us this. Pay careful attention, then, to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I believe there are three propositions that the Apostle Paul gives to us this morning. And the very first is this, is that our time on earth is limited. Now, warning that Paul gives us this momentary charge, he says, pay careful attention. Now, parents, if you have children, I'm sure that statement has been made once or twice in your home, right? Pay attention. But there's a little bit more that Paul says. He says, to pay what kind of attention? You can say, what does it say there? Careful, that's right. To pay careful attention. Some of you weren't paying careful attention. Pay care, good job, Adam. Pay careful attention. Now, it's not just an attention that's momentary. It's not just something that, well, when it's convenient, when it's easy, but pay careful attention. You see, Paul gives us this warning from the very beginning, telling us that our time on earth is limited. And if we aren't careful, it will slip away. Now, the older I get, you guys, most of you probably know how old I am. I'm not very old, but the older I get, the quicker time seems to go. This morning, we were standing in my office for a few moments and looked at a picture. I told my kids I was going to quit picking on them. Maybe that's my New Year's resolution for 2021, is not to pick on my kids in a sermon. But we were looking at a picture of my children just over the past few years and how now, you know, they used to be a lot shorter than Shannon. They'll always be shorter than me, maybe. They used to be shorter than Shannon, and now they're not so much shorter than Shannon. You know, and it's just looking back over time, things have increased so much. And, you know, the psalmist gives us some warnings about this. Psalm 39, verse 4 says, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. And again, in Psalm 90, verse 10, he says, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have strength. They quickly pass as we fly away. Now, what's interesting, if we look back, I can remember a point in time where I thought 30 was old. If you remember thinking 30 was old, I can remember thinking about people who were 30 years old and thinking, man, those people are ancient. How many of you look back and say, those 30-year-olds, those are just kids? Anybody? Or some of you might say, I have grandchildren that are 30 years old. You know, we begin to look at life, and as we move forward, we recognize that time is fleeting. Maybe for a teenager sitting in a car talking with their friends, a couple of hours seems like nothing. But for the parents sitting in the house waiting for them, that couple of hours seems like eternity. The psalmist reminds us, he tells us that our days are numbered. And he gives us the charge to develop a heart of wisdom. That as we walk through life, we are to approach it not from a position of ignorance, but a position of awareness. Now, a few years ago, People Magazine published an article about a new clock that was going to come out. And this new clock was called Dead Ahead. And the new clock was supposed to give you a prediction for how long you were going to live your life. Based on an approximation, you put in different data and information about who you were, and it was going to tell you what your life was going to look like. Anybody want to guess how much this clock would have cost? $99.95, right? How many of you would like to know the number of your days and all the things that would take time or go through your life and imagine it only cost you $99? I think many of us, we can look back over our lives and we can realize that time is fleeting. We begin to assess and think back over all the things that have taken place. And that charge that Paul gives us to pay careful attention is one to not miss anything. So if I take a moment, I have approximately, according to this clock, 16,060 days left to live. If that's really the case, I have approximately 16,000 days. But here's the warning that we're given from God's Word. It's that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are given an approximation. None of us are saying or told when that time will come. But the Bible is very clear for us to not count on tomorrow, but to lean on the Lord and trust in His providence and to trust in His will. What we have is right now, and the charge here is not some ethereal, just make the most of the moment, carpe diem kind of idea, but to recognize that every moment God gives you is precious. And that time is fleeting, but that time is called to have purpose. The second charge that the Apostle Paul gives us is to make the most of every opportunity. We go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. It says, pay a careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of time because the days are evil. Paul recognized, and I think we can see even in our own lives, that when we begin to look around at the world and the chaos and the turmoil, the division and difficulty that we see, that we can't place our hope in the things of this world. They're fleeting. They pass. They fall away. But Paul here tells us to pay careful attention to the instruction that God has given us and to walk as wise people, making the most of time. Now, making the most of every opportunity, I think, is important as we begin to realize that the Bible describes the enemy, Satan, as a thief and a robber, someone who comes to kill and to destroy. See, church, that's what sin does to us. Sin begins to steal from us. It begins to rob from us. It begins to take things away that God designed for good. Sin is one of those elements in our lives that as we begin to focus on what is most important, making the most of every opportunity, time wasted sinning only produces more hardship. See, the consequences of sin that we bear, I believe, are far worse than if we were to only listen the first time. How many of you ever had one of those moments where you thought, I wish I had just listened the first time? Or maybe you had that minute or that time where you thought, you know, I really should probably do that, and then you just went on about your business. And I just have to share this story, Ward. I'm sorry. It may be a weird story. I lost a batch of deer jerky this morning, and it's been very hard for me. It's been very hard. The door didn't latch on our garage, and a dog came in and decided that he would eat my fresh batch of deer jerky. Now, I remember last night, there's a point to this. It's not just me bemoaning the loss of my jerky, which is very sad. But I remember looking at that thinking, you know, I should probably change that, or I should probably move it. And I thought, nah, it'll be fine. That's right, the Holy Spirit was saying, Chad, you need to guard your jerky. You know, that's how the Holy Spirit works in Montana. I got to stick to my notes. No, I don't even know what I was talking about now. That's how I lost my dear jerky. So when we think about what Paul is telling us here this morning, if there's something that we see or a difficulty that maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about, then we're to listen. And that's what wisdom is knowing the truth and following it. Wisdom is recognizing, having the ability to see what's most important, and then following it. Now, there's a story that we see of a few individuals, of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. You see, Mary and Martha are a unique story in Luke chapter 10, where we find Martha. She gets upset at her sister Mary that she's not in the kitchen. You may remember the story. Jesus has come, and we see here Martha is busy. She's making a dinner, and she's getting ready to serve the Lord. And Mary, rather, is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha comes to Jesus, and she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, we can look at Martha's life, and you know what? Martha's probably a little justified, right? Maybe she's making dinner. Maybe some of you had an experience like this pretty recently. Martha's making dinner, and here Mary's just sitting around, and she gets frustrated, and she goes to the person she thinks that will help it. And Jesus responds. He says, "Martha, Martha," Jesus answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, the words of Jesus, I think, are a charge for us to not just see the opportunities, but to make the best choices about those opportunities. I was told years ago of this good, better, and best idea. Some of you may be familiar with some of the books on productivity. If you've ever studied leadership or you've ever read anything along those lines, there's a number of books about how to be a better leader, how to do things differently in order to organize your life. Some of you may be familiar with Stephen Covey's book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I mean, you're familiar with that book. Well, don't read it. I'm just kidding. Stephen Covey's book is a good book, and it's an important book as it begins to help us prioritize life. But what we see here is that really for us as believers, so many times our priorities are misaligned. And the Apostle Paul, I think, gives us a few warnings along that line. He tells us, he reminds us that oftentimes we are overloaded with commitments. That many times we make unwise decisions because we have overcommitted ourselves. If any of you are like me, I struggle with a simple little word. Anybody want to guess what that word is? No. I struggle to say no. We commit so often. We give up our time. Rather than doing what is most important, Covey talks about this good, better, and best idea. That so many times we do something that we think is good, and there are decisions that we make that might be better. But then there's the way that we can invest our time the best. So much of our life we are spending overcommitted. So much of our time we are overloaded, not just with commitments, but also with possession. Now, if your life is anything like ours, I can look particularly at some of the things in my office or in my drawers or different areas. And I think back and I think, why do I have this junk? What's its purpose? Why do I have it, but yet I keep it? My wife says I like to keep boxes. We might need a box just in case. So much of the time we are overloaded with commitments. We're overloaded with possession. Our attention is drawn away. And in other ways, we are overloaded in the area of work. Maybe for us this morning, our work has taken priority over anything and everything. And finally, maybe this morning, we are overloaded with information. If you do a little research on the input of information into our life, it's said that the average human reads over 220 different articles a month. 220 different articles. Now, if you're on Facebook or any type of social media, or if you have a radio, for goodness sake, there's so much information that's being put into our lives that our attention is being drawn away at the highest rate that maybe it ever has. And so we begin to look at these verses and we see, pay careful attention then to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So the question for us this morning as we approach this coming year, 8,760 hours lie before us. Will we make the most of the opportunities that we are given? And will we recognize the purpose that we have been provided? The final thing Paul charges us with comes out of verse 17. This call to seek what the Lord's will is. to seek what the Lord's will is. You see, if we're not careful, we can fall into this kind of practical mentality that we as Christians sometimes buy into an earthly mindset of understanding what is most important. Paul here isn't just giving us a charge for this great New Year's resolution to make better decisions and make the most of your time. Paul here is telling us to pay attention to what the Lord's direction is. He tells us, don't be foolish. Now, as a parent, I'm pretty sure I have made statements like that. We'll just leave it at that. It may not have been the word foolish. But we can look around us and there's so many things that we see. Why would you do something that unintelligent? Why would you make that decision? Why would you do something that you know is going to bring this hardship? See, here what we find Paul saying, he says, don't be dumb, if I can just say that. He says, don't be foolish, because God has already given us a playbook, if you will. He's already given us his instruction. He's given us what we are called to do. It. And in verse 17, he says, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, understanding what the Lord's will is, I think is one of those elements, and I use the word seek. And as we begin to seek the Lord, his will becomes more and more clear to us. But I think it begins in our heart of hearts. That understanding the Lord's will doesn't just come from some hope or expectation. It's not just some New Year's resolution. It's a lifestyle change. It shifts our worldview from seeing what we believe is important to understanding what God tells us is important. It means that we have to renew our minds, that we have to set aside the things of the old life, and we have to allow the new to come in. Paul here tells us not to be foolish, but to seek the Lord's will. You see, understanding and establishing priorities for our life, I think, is one of the elements that starts us in that direction. So I want you to ask yourself this question this morning. Who or what is most important to you? Who or what is most important to you? My hope this morning is that you would answer that my relationship with God through Jesus Christ is what is most important to me. And if that's what's most important to you, it will realign your priorities. It will realign what you say yes to. It will tell you that it will prioritize the time in which you make for the things that are most important. You see, it changes how you schedule. It changes and makes sure that you guarantee time to be in prayer and in God's Word, that you guarantee time to be with the body of Christ and coming to church. My other hope is that God would be most important, because when God is most important in your life, everything else falls in order. Secondly, my prayer is that you would spend time with your family, that you would invest in who you have that God has provided you with in order to steward and to grow and to love. To not just talk, but to spend time getting to know one another. Spending time with children, with husbands, with wives. I think for us, as we recognize the list of priorities, God first, family second, work third. Getting those things in order helps us to set priorities for what will be most important. Understanding God's will, as we go back to Ephesians chapter 5, that charge for us. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You see, as we begin to do that, as we approach this coming year, I think as we take a step back, evaluate all that has happened in 2020. If you have taken a moment, I'm sure many of us have probably seen this just kind of onslaught of negativity about what's happened over the past year. My prayer is that you'll take a moment and see all the things that God has done, how he has provided, how he has walked with you, how he has supported you in the midst of whatever challenge you may have gone through. That you'll focus on the joy rather than the broken. As we approach 2021, that we would see it in true light, seeking God's will first and foremost with all that we do and all that we say, understanding that there will be evil, there will be difficulty, there will be hardship that will come, but to pay careful attention to how we walk. recognizing that God is the one that directs our steps. Someone once said this: life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. See, I think as we take a moment this morning and we approach this 8,760 hours coming, that we begin in God's Word. Let me close with a word from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. It says, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we do thank you for this past year. God, I know many in this room look back at 2020 as one of the hardest and most difficult years of their life. God, as we have surveyed and seen and heard and listened to so much brokenness and difficulty, it has been challenging, we profess, to keep our attention on you. We got to pray as we approach this coming year that you would draw our attention away from the things of this world and help us to center our lives on your truth. God, knowing that whatever may come, you have a plan and a purpose, that we would lean on you, trusting your will. God, that we would not lean on the wisdom of this world, but that we would lean on your truth. That we would not just be students of your word, but that we would dive in. That we would set our priorities right, putting you first in our lives, growing in our families, and then appropriating everything to follow. God, I do pray that as we approach this year, that you would give us hope in you. That you would give us joy in you. Knowing that whatever may come, you will walk with us. God, we thank you for this past year. We thank you how you have been faithful to provide for your body, your church, and your kingdom here in Shelby. Lord, as we approach 2021, I pray that you will help us to give you glory and honor in all that we say. For we love you, we thank you. It's in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.